1 Kings chapter 17. Last week we began a new series on Wednesday night on the lives of Elijah and Elisha. We introduced Elijah last week, and I'm going to continue on, and we'll kind of take a few of these things in chronological order, and I'm going to switch things around back and forth a little bit, and I think you'll see why here in days to come. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 9. 1 Kings 17, verse number 9. We'll read through verse 16. Follow along silently with me. "Arise, get to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Excuse me. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Not because she was a bad cook. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until that day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now, keep your Bibles open. Elijah pops on the scene here in 1 Kings 17. And as I said last week, God raises Elijah up to go against the political evil of the day. Wicked king named Ahab and his wife Jezebel, kind of similar to Bill and Hillary. Matter of fact, the Bible says in chapter 16 that Ahab said provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger more than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That's pretty rough. When you get God provoked, that's not a good thing. It's kind of like when you were a kid growing up. If your mom called you by your first name, you might listen, you might not. If she called you by your first and your last name, you knew she was getting a little bit more serious. If she used your first, your middle, and your last name, you better come running really quick. That meant judgment has already passed and you're about to be executed. Amen? That's kind of what God means by provoked here. Elijah comes on the scene, and he is there to go against this wicked king of Israel. By the way, Israel are God's chosen people. You have to understand, this was the divided kingdom. Israel was the northern part of it, of what we would call the 12 tribes. Then you had Judah in the southern part. And Israel and Judah were separate kingdoms, even though they were all Jews. Now, sometimes God has to make it hard on everybody to expose evil. Let me say that again. Sometimes God has to make it hard on everybody to expose evil. The evil, corrupt governmental leaders causing all the pain needed exposed. And the only way God could do that was to put a drought on the land. You're going to watch America go through some judgment because of evil leadership in our nation. It's going to get harder. Have you noticed the gas prices? It's kind of hard not to notice it. And there's other things that are going to be increasing like that. Food costs are already increasing and other things. You say, why is that? That's because sometimes God has to put pressure on people before they get up and say, maybe I shouldn't have listened to them and I should do what's right. Now, this is the case with Ahab and Jezebel. God uses Elijah to tell them that all of Israel is going to go through a terrible famine due to Jezebel and Ahab. Now, we see in the early part of chapter 17 that we talked about last week, God sends Elijah. As soon as he tells Ahab, he said, look, there's going to be a drought. It's going to be very bad. God comes to Elijah and says, now I want you to go down to this cave and I want you to live there. And there's a brook there and it will give you water by day and at night when you need it. But also the ravens will come and bring your food. Elijah obeyed God. He didn't question God. He went down to the brook Bezor, not Bezer like your nose, but he went down to the brook. He was there. And the Bible talks about over a period of days, months, maybe as much as a year or two, that brook dried up. And here in verse number 9, God says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth unto Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He said, look, I want you to get up. I want you to leave this place. I want you to go to Zarephath. And there's a widow lady. She'll take care of you. He said, you've taken care of me thus far. Why should I not obey you? And Elijah goes. God gives him the instructions that this woman will care for him. Now, he gets to the gate of the city and he sees this widow woman. By the way, a younger widow. She had a son at home. It's just her and her boy. This isn't an older lady. This is a young lady with a son. She's out gathering some sticks and he sees her, and there was a way that a widow would dress in those days that was different to where people could automatically recognize that she was a widow. And we're not going to go into all that because it's not important. But what I'm saying is this, he saw her and he said, ma'am, would you go get me a drink of water? She said, I'd be glad to. Remember, there's a famine going on. Everybody was tight with water. But she said, I'd be glad to give you a drink of water. And as she turns to walk away, Elijah calls to her and he says, while you're doing that, would you bring me back a piece of bread? Also, I'm hungry. And as she's walking, she hears that and she stops. She turns around. She said, sir, I'm poor. I have no cake even. I have just a handful of meal in a barrel of meal. And I've got just a little oil in a little bottle of oil. I've got just enough to make for my son and I. I'm going to make it. That'll be our last food and then we're going to starve to death. He said, I understand. He said, go get the water. He said, by the way, if you'll do what I ask you and you bring me a cake first, God's told me to tell you that that meal will sustain you through the drought if you'll just obey. That lady goes, verse number 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now watch this. And she and he, meaning Elijah, and her house, that's her son, did eat many days. Wow. It sounds like a strange request from the man of God. Sounds like it's pretty tough to go ask this lady to give the last of her food away. But do you realize where Elijah just came from? He's been living in a cave and God's been bringing his food by a raven for months and maybe as much as a year or more. Don't you think Elijah was pretty used to living by faith? He was used to seeing God provide. You see, I want you to notice something. He tells her, don't do this because I'm asking. Look at verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Notice, Elijah said, God said, not me. God said, if you do this, he'll take care of you, your son, and me. And she went and did according to the word of the Lord by Elijah. Now, many weeks ago, I preached a sermon about the fact that God never filled that barrel. If you can go back and listen to the sermon, if you weren't here, or if you forgot it, or you're sleeping through it, I preached a sermon on sometimes God doesn't fill the barrel, but every time she went to the barrel, there was enough there for him to eat. Too many times we want a full barrel and God says, I'm not going to fill it, but every time you need something, it's going to be there. Amen. I'm not going to be preaching on that again, but I want you to notice something. This is the first miracle that God used for Elijah's life. Now, God will only give a miracle to someone willing to obey God. God will not give a miracle to you because you need it. God only gives a miracle to those who are willing to obey God, even when it doesn't make sense. Grace Baptist Church, you're sitting in a miracle. When it didn't make sense to buy a land and build a building, we did. We didn't have any money. I didn't know where it was going to come from, but I knew we needed to do it. Say, what was that? I'd lived by faith my whole life. Why not keep on going? Y'all backed up the preacher and said, okay, preacher, what do we do? And look what God has done. Did it always make sense? You know how many times I doubted it? Kind of like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Our God will deliver us. But if not, Now, say, why do we have to obey God? Because he wants the credit and he doesn't want us taking the credit. If God answers us according to our terms, we get the credit. When we obey him, he gets all the credit. You see, he knows if you start taking the credit for it, you're going to blow your life anyway. Now, let's look at some practical thoughts here, and I'll finish maybe a couple minutes early. Number one, Elijah learned to obey God even when it didn't make sense to man. Elijah learned to obey God even when it didn't make sense to us humans. Listen to this statement. Does human reasoning say it makes sense to go to the President of the United States and tell him he's a jerk and God's going to condemn America in a drought for 3 years, and then go find a cave and live in a cave waiting for the birds to come feed you? That doesn't make sense to human reasoning. But if you read in 1 Kings 17, in the first 8 verses, you find out that Elijah just did what God said. He didn't complain. He didn't go to God and say, I really don't like that plan, God. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I really like the thought of eating after a bird grabbed something off the road somewhere and dropped it at my feet. Does that sound very pleasant to you? I've seen what those birds eat on the side of the road. I don't want to eat that. But may I say something to you? God sustained Elijah by the birds feeding him, and he never questioned God. He just did what God said to do. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse number 8. Isaiah 55, verse number 8. If there are some verses that I think you should memorize, these are two verses I think would help you. Isaiah 55, verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Who saith this? The Lord. Okay, that's God talking, right? Now watch this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wow. Why is it that we pee on little human beings with sinful, finite brains want to question God? Well, if I were God, well, we're glad you're not. Amen. Well, it just doesn't make sense, preacher. The problem is you got an eye problem. Your thoughts, you're trying to put your thoughts into God's thoughts, and God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There are some things you just don't know.
Right.
You don't know everything he knows. Nor do you know the end. He knows the end from the beginning. You're looking at the middle, trying to figure it out, confused as a termite and a yo-yo, and it doesn't make sense to you, but God says, I see the end at the beginning. If you just hang on and obey me, it'll work out. Now, Elijah has just spent months to a year or so being fed by ravens and water, from a brook. He was used to seeing God provide. When he came up to this widow lady who has a young son, and he says, go get me some water and bring me some bread. And he says, now watch this. I know you only got enough for you and your son for one time and you're done. But God told me to come here. God said he would provide for you if you would do what he asked you to do through me. That sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? Now, listen to this very carefully. Elijah needed a widow who was willing to obey the unusual. It doesn't always make sense what a preacher tells people to do from time to time. But when it's the right thing to do according to the word of the Lord, it's amazing how it works out. Amen, Miss Wally? Last August, Brother Fred passed away. And Wally wasn't in good shape. Miss Wally moved in with us. We sold her car. I took her driver's license. everybody said amen. No, she said amen. She said, oh, I don't have to drive? Good. I thought, well, that was easier than I expected. I said, Miss Wally, we need to clean up the house and sell what we can. You keep what you need, and we're going to fix it up, and we need to sell the house. I need to get all of your assets together to be able to help you. It's going to be a little insecure for a little while, but if you'll let me help you, you'll have more than you've ever had in the last many, many years. Boy, we worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And I said, Miss Wally, we're going to have to spend a little money on that house, but we're going to get it back. Well, I was told to ask almost $40,000 less for that house than we had listed it for. $40,000. I said, that's what she's going to live on. Not doing it. I prayed about it. Lord said, nope, this is the number. The realtor looked at me. She said, I'll do it. I said, yeah, you will. I'm paying you. I said, if I need to come, I can always come down. I can't go back up. She said, all right. Well, we waited about 10 days. And she said, I want to meet with you. We've gotten some reviews. We've had about 30 people look at the house. She came out to our house, and Wally and I sat at the table, and the realtor sat down, and she said, well, here's the sheet with all of the reviews on it. And there was some, if you've ever sold a house, it's amazing what people will write about a review. You know, I didn't like the color of the wall. Well, they were all the same thing. We painted the entire house. They just nitpick the smallest of things. Insignificant. And I said, don't worry about it, Miss Wally. And she said, I can't even believe I'm going to tell you all this, but she said, we have an offer on your house. I thought, what in the world did you give me this stupid thing for? I said, okay, what is it? He'll give you your asking price. $40,000 more than she wanted to list it for. I said, okay. She said, he's got to sell his townhouse first. I said, doesn't matter. She's not living in that one thing anyway. Give us time to finish up whatever needs done. And she sold her house for asking price. We didn't negotiate over $1.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Miss Wally looked at me. She said, I can't believe that. I said, I can, especially because the guy liked the garage. The metal outbuilding. She said, that stupid building. I told her she was going to sell it because of that building. And she did. She said, I still can't believe that stupid building. Now, wait a minute. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to some people. But she's doing real good right now. You say, why is that? Because we followed the word of the Lord, not the word of the preacher, the word of the Lord. It didn't always make sense, but sometimes it really does when you look back at it. You might not be able to see the sense looking ahead, but when you get through it and look back, you'll say, oh, good thing I did that. Or you're going to say, ooh, glad I didn't do that. You see, Elijah needed a widow who was willing to obey the unusual. God often uses the unusual to do the supernatural to show how wonderful he is. Let me say that again. God often uses the unusual to show the supernatural. Remember the story of a man named Naaman with leprosy? He went to go see the man of God. We'll see that in weeks or so to come. And Elijah wouldn't even come out to meet him. He said, I'm not going to talk with you. He said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. This big shot, hot shot army general said, I'm not going to do that. It's a dirty river. He said, I could have stayed at home and dipped myself in clean rivers. And the people with him said, come on, boss. You're here. What's it hurt to do it? So he goes down 6 times. Imagine he's mocking God at this moment. He comes up for the 7th time and he looks down and the leprosy's gone. It didn't make sense to him, but everybody else said, you might as well try it. You're here. How about a man named Gideon? God took an army of 15,000 versus 145,000 and pared it down to 300. What'd they have for weapons? A trumpet, a clay pot, and a torch. They didn't have Molotov cocktails. They didn't have an armor-plated camel. They had nothing. And yet they defeated 145,000 people without ever using a sword. Say, how does that happen? You have to find people willing to do the unusual to let God do the supernatural. Remember Moses? Moses, what's in your hand? A rod, throw it down. Turned into a snake. Most people would have run away. He said, Shazam. He said, now I want you to pick it up. Now, God, you and I are going to have to talk about that one. Moses bends down and picks that thing up and turns back into a rod. He said, now I want you to take your rod and go talk to Pharaoh. Remember the 10 plagues? God used that rod through Moses' hand. Remember when they got to the Red Sea? Moses holds the rod up and the sea begins to part. And God dried the Red Sea and they crossed on dry ground. They get to the other side and he said, Moses, lift that rod up. We're going to take care of these Egyptians. And they went blub, blub, blub in the bottom of the deep blue sea. Amen. Or Dead Sea. Now you know why it's called the Dead Sea. Now, a miracle will not make sense to man because it will not happen by man. It will happen so people can see that it had to be God. This is a miracle church. Do you know what the miracle of this church is? We survived 4 other moves. Rented building to rented building to rented building. From hotel from hotel. The miracle of this church isn't just the property and the building of this building. It's, man, we were from one end of the county to the other, to back to the other end of the county and back to a different county. That doesn't happen in church work. People will tell you, that's stupid. Well, sign me up. I'm willing to obey God. Doesn't make sense. It had to be God, and that's why sometimes when you're looking for the miracle, you're not going to get it. How about we just be willing to obey God and let him take care of the miracle working? Number 2, I got to hurry. God uses a lady in worse shape than Elijah to meet the need. Did you know this widow lady was in worse shape than Elijah? Here's a widow, a young lady with a son at home. Elijah was by himself. Elijah had a better chance of getting food than she did. Shoot, might be a couple ravens drop some chicken wings or something down. Or some banana pudding or something. you know, it could even have been hot tamales or something. I don't know. But God had been providing food for Elijah all along. Here's a lady who's gathering two sticks to put in her fireplace to build a fire to make two little patties of cornbread, so to speak, and they're going to starve to death. The widow had no husband to secure her, and she had two mouths to feed. God did not need a wealthy widow with no needs to show his greatness. God didn't need a widow who had plenty and say, well, you can just come on in, I'll adopt you. No, God wanted to show his greatness not just to Elijah, but he wanted to take care of somebody else in the process. You see, he wanted a needy, willing widow to obey in order to show his greatness. How good would the story be if Elijah went to Zarephath and there was a wealthy lady there and she had this extravagant place and had all the food he could ever want? Does that show God's provision? Yes, but not as great as a lady who has nothing left. And yet she can go to the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil and every day get the food necessary for her and her son and Elijah. Imagine going to that barrel three times a day. And you know when you started, you had a handful in there. And at the end, there's still a handful in there. It didn't fill up, but it didn't go out. You see, the widow was not looking for a miracle. If you notice, she said, I'm going to do this and then we're going to die. She was not looking for the miracle. By the way, she didn't think she could be used to provide a miracle. Look at verse number 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil and cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that it may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Does that sound like somebody looking for a miracle? Most of the time, a miracle comes when you're not looking for it. I explain it this way to people. Getting a miracle is great. Needing one really stinks. If you're in a place where you need a miracle, you're not in a good spot. You're just not in a good situation. You see, she had given up hope. And God sends a man of God with the word of God. I want you to notice, go back to the story here to verse number 8. Look at what verse number 8 says. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying. Notice these aren't Elijah's words, they're God's words. He spoke God's words to this widow and said, if you'll just do what God said, I can promise you, God's going to take care of you and me and your son. I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but I'll promise you this. I promise you, every time you go to that barrel of meal and cruse of oil, there's going to be something there so that we don't starve to death. God told me that's what's going to happen. God wants to take our little and turn it into much. Remember the song? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Guess what? God specializes in taking our little and turning it into much. Go through the Bible and look at all the little things God uses. It's amazing. You say, well, preacher, I don't have much to offer. Good. Give it to God and see what God can do with it. I don't have much to offer. Please don't take this in a wrong way here. I'm not a talented person. I don't have a whole lot of natural talent. I really don't. But God called me to preach 41 years ago this month, and I said, okay, God, if you're willing to use me, I'm willing to do it. And he took every ability I had away so that I had to do it. You say, why? Because I didn't have much to offer, but boy, God's done a lot of amazing things. And our little can be much when God is in it. Not when we're organizing it, but when he does. So, number one, Elijah learned to obey God even when it didn't make sense to man. God uses, number two, a lady in worse shape than Elijah to meet the need. Number three, and we'll finish with this. Look what happens when we obey God without question. Look what happens when we obey God without question. Look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Look at me. Do you see her questioning God here? Do you see her saying, God, that's not fair. I ought to feed my son first. No. Do what the man of God says, whether it makes sense or not. You're not looking at a man of God that's selfish. He wants you to see what God can do. Imagine her making that first one, taking it to him, and her going back, knowing that barrel was empty, and looking in and finding meal in it. I was telling somebody this week, I was talking to somebody, and I know what it, my wife and I know what it means to live by faith. We went to work, and I won't tell you which church we went to work in, but I'd gone about 6 weeks without a paycheck total, transfer from one job to the other, and we didn't have much to begin with. Got there, got my first paycheck, and they were taking double everything out. There wasn't enough to hardly pay the bills. I had $7 to live on gasoline, and I had to drive 15 miles each way to and from work every day. And drive in my life, I do a lot of driving, visiting, and everything else. $7 is not enough gas money for anybody for any week. What'd you do, man? I was digging in the seat cushions and the couches and finding change. I remember rolling up to a gas station, and I had about $3.50 worth of coins in my pocket. And it was at the time you could, this was years ago, you could pump gas and then go in and pay for it. You know, so I'm counting on my little change here, and yeah, okay, stick it in my pocket. I jumped out, Brother Mike. I opened up my gas cap, put the thing in, and I hear this. Hey, are you Brother Bush? Yes. He said, I'm Brother So-and-so at the church. I said, well, nice to meet you. And I reached out and grabbed his hand. He said, tell you what. He said, just fill your car up. I'll take care of it for you. Yes, sir. Got some more change in my pocket. Filled that puppy up. Say, how full did you fill it? Till it was coming out over the edge. I ran that tank out. I went back. I still had all that change. I went back to the gas station. I went to start filling it up. Guess what? Another church member walked up, handed me a $20 bill. I was weeping on the way to the cashier. Amen. I made it through. Say, how's that work? God. I never told the preacher I needed money. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife I needed money because she didn't have any to get me. There was nothing to be had. Can I tell you something? When you just start obeying, it's amazing what God can do. Elijah didn't ask her to obey him. He said, if you'll obey what God told me to tell you, God will take care of you. I will never ask you to obey me. But if we do what he says, God's going to take care of us. I promise you. I get a little weary of the new order in churches that pastors are sending their people to psychiatrists for counseling instead of giving them the word of God. We don't need more shrinks. We need the man of God. I'll give you scriptural and biblical counsel. Say why? Because if we do what God says, it doesn't matter what I think or say. I'll promise you that. Everybody doing okay? Elijah didn't use psychology. He used Bibleology. You will not get needs met or a miracle unless you obey God's word. That means this: we ought to read the word of God. I believe every Christian ought to read the word of God every day. I'm not telling you how long to read it. I think everybody at least once in their life ought to read through it once in a year. I think it's good for you. But I don't care if you read through it and it takes you 5 years to get through it. If, as long as you get something every day from it, who cares? You say, well, preacher, I read it and it doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, it's kind of like running water into a basket. You might not hold it, but you'll have a cleaner basket. Eventually, it's going to stick. So read the word of God. Take some time and read. I'm not telling you how many chapters, how many verses. Some people read well, some people don't read as well, but read the word of God. Number two, I think that we ought to hear the word of God taught and preached to us. We need Sunday school. We need Sunday morning church. We need Sunday night church. We need Wednesday night church. We need the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Say why? Because we're all sinners. If you listen to Sunday sermon, you heard the preacher preach to himself that day. I preach to myself often. You say, preacher, were you preaching at me? Nope, preaching at me most of the time. I need it as much as you do. Can I tell you something? We all need the preaching of the word of God. We need the teaching of the word of God. Wednesday night's important. I love Wednesday night Bible study. I love teaching the Bible, but I love preaching too. Number three, we ought to obey the Bible. It's not just for you to put down on a piece of paper and say, wow, I learned something. Learning something doesn't mean anything if you don't go use it. There's a lot of intelligent people that are worthless because they're not doing anything with what they know. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Next. Miracles do not come because you ask. They come because you obey. Miracles don't come by asking. Miracles come by obeying. Elijah didn't ask for a miracle. This lady did not ask for a miracle. God said, go do this. Elijah went and did this. God said, Elijah, tell her this. He told her that. She obeyed, and look what God did. When we start looking for it and we don't get it, that's when we get bitter. Got to finish. God will keep his word. Look at verse number 16. I love this. This is what I waited for the whole lesson. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the what? Word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Notice it was the word of the Lord, not the word of Elijah. Now, he used the preacher to speak those words, but it was the word of the Lord that God was able to do the miracle, not the word of Elijah. Elijah didn't have the miracle. It was God's. It was the first miracle that God used Elijah in, but it wasn't Elijah's words. He just said, okay, you've been feeding me with birds in the brook. The brook dried up. You told the birds to leave, told me to go to Zarephath. I'm going to Zarephath. There's a lady there. There's a widow. I've commanded her to. I mentioned this in the sermon a few weeks ago. I don't find anywhere where this woman was commanded by God to do anything. He just talked to the first widow he saw. She was willing to do it, and look what God did. Say, what widow was God talking about? The one that was willing to do whatever God said. I don't find anywhere where she knew ahead of time that God commanded her to take care of Elijah. Do you? It doesn't say that. But she was willing to obey the word of the Lord. Say, which one was God talking about? Her. God will keep his word. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It's not according to our want. It's not according because we need something. It's according to the word of the Lord, our obedience to the word of the Lord that brings the miracles that we need in our lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. So much more I want to say, but there's just not time tonight. We'll pick it up from there later. But I wonder, who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that truth tonight, something I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. Maybe we ought to be more in the Word, reading it, hearing it, being around it, hearing it taught, and obeying it.